You're listening to Eagle Wings Online Radio, your messianic Christian music alternative.
Like what we do? Share this on your socials and tell everyone.
We hope you get blessed by this narrated sermon podcast from Pastor Chris.
Document title, Healing, the Candle of the Lord. Oh my, my, how can a person feel sick after eating something wrong, or overeating, or coming into contact with something that our body does not know how to deal with? Yes, I had one of those nights, and it just would not let me go. The thought of a message for our ministry, the Ministry of Health. I can already tell you that this is not going to be a message on why I do not eat this or why I do eat that. No, that is a different discussion. Where I do want to go with you is toward the understanding of so many of our health treasures that are written in the Bible. These treasures will give us greater understanding, but also ammunition to help us in the fight for healthier living. So let me then first start with something that we all have heard so many times. Ignorance is bliss. Or what about, what you don't know can't kill you? Is this truth or is this stupidity? I would say it is stupidity, and that is indeed what gets you killed. But what does the Bible tell us about this? Acts chapter 17, verse 30, Complete Jewish Bible. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now He is commanding all people everywhere to turn to Him from their sins. In the letter to the Ephesians, it says, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18, Amplified Bible. Their moral understanding is darkened, and their reasoning is beclouded. They are alienated, estranged, self-banished from the life of God, with no share in it. This is because of the ignorance, the want of knowledge and perception, the willful blindness that is deep-seated in them, due to their hardness of heart, to the insensitiveness of their moral nature. There is a deep sense of, when I do not know about it, God cannot hold me responsible for not knowing or doing what I did not know was wrong. And indeed, deep sense of ignorance is bliss. Settling for second best because of the fear of the unknown, the fear of what might be ahead. Ezekiel chapter 33 verse 6, Complete Jewish Bible. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the shofar so that the people are not warned, and then the sword comes and takes any one of them, that one is indeed taken away in his guilt. But I will hold the watchman responsible for his death. You, my brothers and sisters, are with me, the watchman on the wall, knowing what is right, seeing what is wrong, and not blowing the shofar on it is not just neglect or sin. It is blood on our hands. This week, I was reminded of a little ditty, as I might have called it in those days 30 years ago. A short but great song called The Candle of the Lord by Joy Webb. It reflects so well the world in which we live and the need that it has to be drawn into the light of Yeshua. How great the darkness, how deep the need, how vast the problems of indifference, hate, and greed. A world rejecting the truth once known and slipping down into a nightmare of its own. Is there a light that's strong enough to go and metamorphosize the darkness that we know? I am the candle of the Lord, and truth and love more powerful than sword. O fan the flame, its single gleam diffuse, and let my spirit be the light that you can use. I am the candle of the Lord. How bright the light is from soul to soul, a myriad tiny flames expanding to a whole. How strange the truth is when joined as one, and what a miracle this shining could become. It could transform the darkness that we know, and clearly light the way mankind must try to go. Light me. What a wonderful song written by Joy Webb, the singer of the Salvation Army group, the Joy Strings. Okay, I know they do no longer exist, as this was disbanded in 1969. It does not have to be a great lighthouse on a high rock or a huge fire. It all starts with one little flame, a little candle flame, which is you and or me. It all starts with one individual and the willingness to stop our ignorance and yield to the will of God. It starts with the acceptance that God truly does not make junk. We are wonderfully made to be His temple, to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. Psalm chapter 139, verse 13 to 16. Complete Jewish Bible. For you fashioned my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I thank you because I am awesomely made, wonderfully. Your works are wonders. I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes could see me as an embryo, but in your book, all my days were already written. My days had been shaped before any of them existed. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 to 20, Common English Bible. Or don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Don't you know that you have the Holy Spirit from God and you don't belong to yourselves? You have been bought and paid for, so honor God with your body. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, Amplified Bible. If anyone does hurt to God's temple or corrupts it with false doctrines or destroys it, God will do hurt to him and bring him to the corruption of death and destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, sacred to him. And that temple you, the believing church, and its individual believers are. Wow! To be that flame that fans the other flames, we need to be a temple to the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit fire that is the flame which burns in the believer, that kills off ignorance, and that starts a holy fire of longing to know more and more about Adonai, the Lord, to know more about Him, but also to live life more aligned with His will. As followers of Christ, we know that we do not attain heaven by following a set of rules. We attain heaven by accepting the sacrifice made on our behalf, by accepting Yeshua, Jesus, as our Lord and Savior, and through the repentance of our sins. And repentance means turning away from sin, a full 180-degree turn, away from that which our Lord Yeshua calls sin. Then what is it about obeying His will? Isn't that doing works or good deeds? Yes, it is. But there is a difference. A true Christian does not do works or good deeds in order to be saved, but because they love the Father and desire to be obedient to His will. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, Common English Bible. The Lord said, "If you are careful to obey the Lord your God, do what God thinks is right, pay attention to His commandments, and keep all of His regulations, then I won't bring on you any of the diseases that I brought on the Egyptians. I am the Lord who heals you. I am Jehovah Rapha," King David wrote. Psalm chapter 103, verse 1 to 5, Common English Bible. Let my whole being bless the Lord. Let everything inside me bless His holy name. Let my whole being bless the Lord and never forget all His good deeds, how God forgives all your sins, heals all your sickness, saves your life from the pit, crowns you with faithful love and compassion, and satisfies you with plenty of good things so that your youth is made fresh like an eagle's. We have now seen, I hope, how good our Lord is and how He desires for us to live a good and abundant life. He wants us to be a temple for His Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. That says something. Wow. But then, Pastor, the next thing we hear is all about the things we can or should eat, and those we should not eat. Yes, that happens a lot. But the Bible tells us so much more. What about the trap, or sin, I fall to so often? The sin of gluttony. Oh yes, especially with pizza or Chinese food. God tells us in the book of Proverbs to be careful in this way. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 1 to 5. Complete Jewish Bible. When you sit down to dine with a ruler, think carefully about who is before you. If you have a big appetite, put a knife to your throat. Don't be greedy for his delicacies, for they are deceptive food. Don't exhaust yourself in pursuit of wealth. Be smart enough to desist. If you make your eyes rush at it, it's no longer there. For wealth will surely grow wings, like an eagle flying off to the sky. God tells us here that when we overeat, we are no longer in control. It is truly the food that is going to control us. Caesar also knew this so well. He controlled the people with free food and games, and he had them eating out of his hand, pun intended. We should not be wise in all of this, using our own earthly wisdom. Verse 4 reminds us that earthly wisdom and plenty of food are only temporary. It is important that mealtime is not something squeezed in between all the other things in life. Our mealtime should be a time of joy, and with that, I would also say, a time of reflection. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. Complete Jewish Bible. I know that there is nothing better for them to do than to be happy and enjoy themselves as long as they live. Still, the fact that everyone can eat and drink and enjoy the good that results from all his work is a gift of God. I know that whatever God does will last forever. There is nothing to add or subtract from it, and God has done it so that people will fear him. The most wonderful conversations I have had were over a nice plate of food, taking the time to consume and sharing the joys and labors of the day. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 17, King James Version. Blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles, and thy princes eat in due season, for strength and not for drunkenness. It is important to eat in due season, in other words, at the regular set intervals for proper strength, and not just for the sake of eating or consuming alcohol. The Lord also tells us in his word to maintain a balance in all that we do. Exodus chapter 20, verse 9 to 10, Amplified Bible. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son, your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, your domestic animals, or the sojourner within your gates. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 21 to 24, Common English Bible. Because sometimes those who have worked hard with wisdom, knowledge, and skill must leave the results of their hard work as a possession to those who haven't worked hard for it. This too is pointless. It's a terrible wrong. I mean, what do people get for all their hard work and struggles under the sun? All their days are pain, and their work is aggravation. Even at night, their hearts don't find rest. This too is pointless. There's nothing better for human beings than to eat, drink, and experience pleasure in their hard work. I also saw that this is from God's hand. Psalm chapter 127, verse 1 to 2, Complete Jewish Bible. A Song of Ascents by Shlomo. Unless Adonai builds the house, its builders work in vain. Unless Adonai guards the city, the guard keeps watch in vain. In vain do you get up early and put off going to bed, working hard to earn a living, for he provides for his beloved even when they sleep. From the earliest scriptures and the giving of the Torah, we see God placing great emphasis on balance, 6 days of labor and 1 day of rest. The fruit of our labors must be harvested, but when it is given to those who did not labor for it, its value is diminished. When you work hard to attain something, you treat it with much more care and gratitude. You understand the sacrifices, the time, and the effort it required. There is nothing more gratifying than to realize how much God has blessed you. When you consider what you live in, what you drive, what you eat and drink, what you wear, know that it is all a blessing from God. Shlomo or Solomon gives us the most vital key. Unless the blessing of Adonai rests upon your labor, your work is in vain. What is the point of rising earlier than everyone else, working later than all others, constantly stacking riches, yet robbing your body of rest and your spirit of Sabbath? What good is relentless toil if the Lord is not in it? The sixth day marked the completion of creation. On the seventh, God rested, and He commanded that we do the same. Now let us go one step further. We've established that there is a time and place for all things under the heavens. Good healthy food is certainly one of those. But beyond that, we saw through Exodus chapter 20, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, and Psalm chapter 127 that balance among work, rest, and sleep is crucial. And this brings us to the step beyond seven, the step of eight. Let us divide our day into 3/8. 8 hours of labor, 8 hours of rest, which includes study, family time, time with God, and meals, and 8 hours of sleep. While 6 hours of sleep is considered a minimum for health by scientific standards, we knew this already from God's Word. Science confirms what Scripture declares. Seven symbolizes completeness and divine perfection. But eight is the beginning of something new. It is the number of superabundance. In Hebrew, the number eight is associated with the letter Chet, symbolizing life, as in Chaya, living and grace. It is also associated with the concept Shahmein, which means to make fat, to cover with abundance, to go over and above. It signifies one who abounds in strength. Eight is thus the numeral of new beginnings. Circumcision occurred on the eighth day, marking a newborn's entry into the covenant. It symbolized the start of a new life. Likewise, we see in this number the circumcision of the heart, a new beginning in covenant with Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. The Feast of Tabernacles lasts 8 days. The transfiguration of Yeshua occurred on the eighth day. Eight is the first perfect cube, 2 × 2 × 2, matching the dimension of the Holy of Holies, where God's presence dwelled. In the New Jerusalem, as described in Revelation chapter 21, the city's measurements are 12,000 by 12,000 by 12,000 furlongs, a cube, a holy dwelling. In Greek, the name Ictus, a title for Jesus, adds up numerically to 888. It is a beautiful picture of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Eight is the biblical number of new creation, of new covenant, of healing. And now we understand that science too affirms what Scripture has long said, that the eighth hour of sleep is the most restorative hour, especially in times of sickness. It is during this hour that healing is most active. Restoration happens in God's timing and design. Do you see the balance and the divine parallels with me in all of this? How wonderful and great is our God, who shines through all and everything to show us when we are on the right path and when we stray. My favorite prophet, the one I love to teach and learn from, Isaiah, exhorts us, Isaiah chapter 52, verse 11, complete Jewish Bible. Leave, leave, get out of there. Don't touch anything unclean. Get out from inside it and be clean, you who carry Adonai's temple equipment. Let us be careful not to mix what is pure and holy unto the Lord with the unclean and worldly. The Lord spoke extensively on healing through the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10 to 12, Amplified Bible. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you and keep my good promise to you, causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts and plans for welfare and peace, and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. Then you will call upon me, and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear and heed you. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 12 to 14, and verse 17, Amplified Bible. For thus says the Lord, your hurt is incurable, and your wound is grievous. There is none to plead your cause. For the pressing together of your wound, you have no healing device, no binding plaster. All your lovers, allies, have forgotten you. They neither seek, inquire of, or require you. For I have hurt you with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel and merciless foe, because of the greatness of your perversity and guilt, because your sins are glaring and innumerable. For I will restore health to you, and I will heal your wounds, says the Lord, because they have called you an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no one seeks after, and for whom no one cares. Beloved, in this message, we have walked the path from ignorance to revelation, from imbalance to divine rhythm. We have seen how Scripture is rich in health principles, not only in dietary insight, but in the way we rest, reflect, and return to our Creator. Through the wisdom of the Word and the guidance of the Ruach HaKodesh, we are called to be more than mere inhabitants of these temples of flesh. We are called to be vessels of light. To be a candle of the Lord is not about being perfect. It is about being willing. Willing to be lit. Willing to be used. Willing to burn brightly in a dark world. We are not called to be bonfires on cliffs, but steady flames, tiny, yes, but unwavering. And the miracle? When joined in unity, the flame spreads soul to soul, illuminating paths, bringing warmth, and igniting revival. We were made for health, for life, for light, not for gluttony, not for exhaustion, not for aimless striving. God has spoken through His Word with clarity. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if we, His people, honor that temple with balance, repentance, and joy, we will not only be healed, we will become agents of healing. We might be on the wrong path at this moment in our obedience to the Lord. But as written in the prophet's words, when we repent of our sin, God will provide healing. Not just for us as individuals, but also for the land. So let us labor with purpose. Let us rest in grace. Let us sleep with peace. Let us reflect deeply and love generously. Let us be that eighth-day kind of people, marked by new beginnings, rich with divine abundance. And above all, let us shine. But, it all starts with one little flame. It all starts with the individual. I want to be a candle of and in obedience to the Lord. Amen and amen.
Be sure to share the podcast on your favorite social media channels.